It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
So Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. So good to be back in Atlanta. Thank you for tuning in. So good to be back. I was in Michigan this past week, and Michigan is a hidden gem of a place in the United States. And for those of you who know Michigan, and I know we have a lot of listeners that travel to Michigan or either are in Michigan or they live here in the Southeast, and then they go back to the great state of Michigan, and they love it. And there's no competition for that group of folks because they know how nice it is and how much coastline there is on Lake Michigan, which is in my favorite lake up there, or one of my favorite lakes up there. And but if you don't know Michigan, you kind of think of it as an armpit of the nation to some extent. I'll never forget, I was flying to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and this is a long time. This is about 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember checking into Delta. And by the way, I drove this time with tons of children and a big roof rack that we were lucky to actually keep on and not rip off at a parking garage, and bike racks. I mean, it was just like the modern day version of a vacation headed to Wally World, but we were headed to Michigan. But I remember flying one time, which is really a smarter choice. I think I'll never drive again. We went to, and I checked in at Delta, and the baggage group, I remember that what the guy told me, he goes, Grand Rapids. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry about what? He said, I'm Grand Rapids. He goes, you're going to Michigan. He goes, that's not a great place. And that's the prevailing attitude for so many folks that either maybe they were from Michigan and they don't have great memories of it, or they just don't know about it. And I'm fine to keep it a secret. So it's just between you and me that it really is a game-changing place, particularly in the summer. The weather, it's still hot up there. And I had a cabin with no air conditioning. Again, another mistake. That in the first couple of days, it was really hot and uncomfortable. But then it cooled down, Michigan form, and it's about 10, 15 degrees cooler, particularly at night in Michigan. And it's a wonderful place. And there's so much to do, obviously, with kids and family and lake and golf and everything like that. So I'm a big fan of that, and we'll continue to go back. Now, back here to Money Matters, that when I'm gone for a couple of days and I'm able to just kind of read whatever I want to read, and stay connected, because I love to stay connected to the world. And this is just kind of the thing I love to do. I love to understand what's happening in the world from an economic perspective, like a lot of you listening, and how the economy shapes stocks and bonds and interest rates and everything that happens in Washington and how that impacts equity markets as well. So when I'm away for a little while, I tend to get overwhelmed with what I'm reading because I have a little bit more time to read, and I'm reading beyond my normal research regimen, if you will. So you're sitting there reading what's happening to stocks and bonds and interest rates and the housing market, the U.S. and the economy as a whole, and technology. I love reading about technology and what's happening within tech. And there's so many things that I would say most people don't even know that's happening within technology that is beyond what I would even consider the forefront, things that are hard to even imagine that are happening and becoming billion-dollar industries right beneath our noses. And, of course, the White House, the energy sector, and the commodity sector, and headlines about trade, which is, of course, the worry of the day. So sometimes the hardest thing about coming back to Money Matters is deciding on what the most fun and interesting and most relevant topic is. I even read about cheese this week, about how the America's cheese stockpile just hit an all-time high. So the commodity market of milk and cheese is fascinating. And the fact that now we're making, we are creating data storage within DNA or replicated DNA. I mean, things that are hard to even imagine. Anyway, here's the winner this week. And at least to start out with today, we're going to talk about, now we're kind of here mid-year. I want to do a little bit of a mid-year update and understand what's happening in the world and markets. But really the story, or the winner in my eyes this week, has to do with the defense industry and Trump's announcement this week at NATO, pressuring NATO member countries to step up big time on defense spending. And now the part of the reason of this that I want to talk about this is I've highlighted this lack of spending by so many NATO countries for the last couple of years here on Money Matters. We've talked about this. And we've talked about the fact that there would be pressure on these countries to ramp up spending. That might just start to happen way, way ahead of schedule. And of course, that can be a boon for the defense industry and defense stocks, not just here in the United States, but around the world. These defense, so many of these defense companies are based here in the United States. And of course, we are by far the largest spender on military and defense here in the United States. But you start to ramp up all of the rest of these NATO countries that right now collectively spend $1 trillion on defense. If that goes up by 10% or 20% or what Trump wants it to do, really, if you make this jump from 2% of gross domestic product, GDP spending, which is the target, we'll get into all the details about where countries are, sit or why most countries are well below that target. Now Trump wants to take the target to 4%. What's that going to do to defense spending? It's a pretty remarkable story. And it's starting to happen probably sooner than we even expected. But so we're going to talk about the defense industry and the potential for this global growth industry and the story behind that and some of these new developments. And we're going to talk about that here today on Money Matters. So stay tuned. Also, of course, phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely here with me in the studio. And he will get lonely if you're not calling in, and he's not going to have anything to do. So let's talk, and I'll answer your potential questions as well. It's been a little while since we've taken phone calls. So, of course, so what would you call the show about? You would call about things like, hey, Wes, I'm thinking about changing my investments from mutual funds to ETFs or ETFs to something else, and I'm not sure exactly what to do. Can I do that? Should I do it within my IRA or my non-IRA? What about you're faced with a situation where you're forced to choose between something like a lump sum pension and a some sort of monthly payout that you might get? I would say almost a dozen right off the top of my head, Fortune 500 companies here based in the Southeast that are giving notices to thousands of folks that they're giving packages, let's say. They're saying, hey, here's an opportunity to leave now or maybe retire from this particular company sooner than you might have thought. A lot of these are voluntary where they're saying, look, you thought you were going to work till 65. Now you're 55 and we're ready for you to go. If you're ready, here's an offer to do that potentially. But the offers are complicated. They're big, they're major decisions. Here's a big chunk of money. You can roll into your IRA called a lump sum pension, or here's a monthly amount of income either for you or you and your spouse or some sort of variation on that. So the math there and the decision-making can be pretty complicated, or it is complicated. A lot of things to think about. And we will talk that through here on Money Matters. So we take pride here in being one of the, what we think is the foremost show on objective financial advice here in the nation. And we'll continue to do that right here live on Sunday mornings. The number in the studio, phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 here on this summer morning, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 800-972-8255. So let's talk, before we get into defense and talk about this global growth story as an industry, let's talk about where we are in markets now that we're kind of in mid-year. Now it's the dog days of summer. It's July. It's hot. I know that folks are on vacation or they're coming and they're going back from vacation. Where are we as markets kind of get underway for the second half of the year? If you look where we ended the first half of the year, the S&P 500, kind of a frustrating first half because the S&P 500 was up about 1.5%, not a lot, basically back and forth between the flat line. The Dow was down almost 2% mid-year, and that was after a full-blown correction in which the Dow and the S&P 500 dropped well over 10%. So we went through everything in the first half kind of just to kind of finish flat or slightly down. Bond market didn't do a lot, just kind of this frustrating period of time, even though we know that the economy has been doing well, and we're going to talk about that too. So despite all the tariffs and the headlines of this particular week, another $200 billion worth of Chinese goods in the tariff crosshairs, and yes, we had a 200-point down day for the Dow because of that, but for the most part, the market has been shaking off these worries, or at least the last couple of days, the last week or so. It's shaking off worries about the trade war or the potential of a trade war. For the week, this particular week, Dow finished up 2.3%, now net positive for the year, 1.2%. So now the Dow is back just above the flat line for 2018. S&P 500 this week climbed 1.5%. Now up about 4.75% for the year. And this is where this tug of war is coming from, because we're still in this tug of war between the good of all the positives we've talked about here in 2018, tax reform, $200 billion of stimulus for the U.S. economy, government spending this year, $100 billion extra, $500 billion of repatriated cash, all in about $800 billion of 2018 economic stimulus, which is a major, major catalyst for economic growth. And then the negative of all the headlines that would lead you to believe that all economic activity between the U.S. and China, it's gonna stop. It's going to halt. Massive trade war. Of course, that's not the case. That is not the case. So just the hard numbers so far, only $8.5 billion worth of tariffs on Chinese goods have been implemented. That's 25% of the $34 billion that's been implemented today worth of goods. The Chinese have retaliated with another $8.5 billion from their side. Another $4 billion going through this month. That's 25% on $16 billion. And then with the Chinese response, we're not talking about $25 billion worth of hard, with the retaliation now. We're now, everything together, we're at about $25 billion of hard cost from these tariffs so far. Another 10%, another $200 billion, that's another $20 billion in hard costs. So the numbers are definitely adding up. But what does a $20 billion hit to U.S. GDP of $20 trillion? Well, it's 0.1% of GDP. That's 0.1% of GDP. All right, we're going to continue with this as we've got to run to break. I get so excited on radio here. More talk about this trade tug of war, the winner of the week, the defense industry, when Money Matters returns. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We'll go right to the phones here. Jeff joins us on the line from Winder. What's going on, Jeff? Yes, how can we help?
Awesome. I'm so thankful to talk to you, sir. All right. I got a quick question. I don't want to say too much because I'm not sure about the code of ethics, but my company I work for, I'm in the target retirement date. It's a big construction company. But I spread out my funds to where small, large, and medium capital stocks, international stocks, and then bonds. But in my pie chart, there's no company stock. Should I be concerned about that, or do I need to buy company stock, or what do you think about
that?
So
if you say you're in a big global construction company, I think we all know what that company is. They make toys also from the big things that they sell. They're typically of orange, yellow color, and my kids love them. So I know what you're talking. They make bulldozers, right? And dump trucks.
Yep.
And that's a company that I would, if it were me and I worked at a company like that, I'm a huge believer in owning your company stock. You'll read articles, don't own, you're already invested in your company, you're already tied to the company, and you don't need their stock. I disagree with that. I think you should own some of your company stock. Now, do you want to own 50%? If you're an executive, you're kind of forced to own a lot of stock. And I think that can get problematic when you get to have 50% of your net worth in a stock. You don't want to do that. But to have 10% in your company stock that's a global growth company, that's an infrastructure play on the world, China 2025, and all the things that are happening. Yes, in my opinion, I think you want to own some company stock. So you, and at your age, you don't need a target fund, Jeff. You don't need a target fund is going to have some bonds in it. You don't need to own bonds, man. You're 25 years old or you're 27. You don't need to own any bonds. You need stocks for the next 50 years or the next 30 years. That's where you're going to get your growth. So to have 10% of your own company stock, I think it's a home run as far as it aligns you with the company. It puts you in the right frame of mind, and I don't think it's a bad thing, particularly with a big blue chip company, to own your company stock. So thanks for the call, man. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters in the defense industry, global growth, straight ahead.
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We'll go to the phones. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. If you've been thinking about, hey, maybe we should call Wes and Ryan on Sunday morning over WSB, we've got a question. Maybe something's not working for you, and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why isn't this working? Everything else seems to be working, except what I'm doing. It's not working. Maybe we should call and see why. Maybe you think something is working, and you think, well, maybe I should do more of that. Then let's discuss it. Give us a call. Maybe you're thinking about buying a rental property. You think, wow, maybe I should buy this rental property and I'm going to do the math. And hey, guys, does this make sense? Let's run the numbers. Sure, let's do it on here on a Sunday morning. All in the context of talking about the economy, which I love to talk about, figure out where we're headed as a nation and a globe. Where's the tide of economic activity? Where's it headed? Where's the gravitational pull? And what's happening with what we want to talk about today? If there has been a political headline that has some real gravity to it, besides the whole thought of tariffs, it has to do with the NATO announcement this week, or the push by Trump to say, look, you guys are all underspending, except for us. You need to step up your defense spending from where it is today, languishing at 1 or 0.5% of your GDP, to Article 5, which says 2% of your GDP, gross domestic product. You're not doing it. Step it up right now. What does that mean for this trillion-dollar industry? It could be a big deal. So all of that here on Money Matters this Sunday morning. The number in the studio, again, give us a call. Phone line's open, 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to head to Ann, who joins us in Midtown. Hey, Ann, good morning. What's going on? How can I help?
Hi, Wes. Good morning. I have a question that's been sort of bugging me for about 2 years, and I'm definitely a neophyte, but I have about $500,000 in total investments. I'm 64, and some of my investments include E-Trade and Robinhood. I also have an IRA and a 401. And so my personal investments with E-Trade and Robinhood are only about $30,000, which is a good number. I started out with $8,000 3 years ago, almost four. And the percentage of gain is 60%, which I like that. It's a lot of, you know, high tech, some commodities, some... And I just read, like, Investopedia and this and that. But my IRA, which is about 300-something thousand, it does not grow nearly as fast as my own investment. And I wanted to get some thought on that.
Okay, so wow, this is a great conversation to have. Well, but let me ask you a little bit more. So you've got you've got a couple of investment accounts, Robinhood and E-Trade, and you're picking your own stocks, and they've done really well, right? I mean,
eight grand
to 30 grand. With it sounds like that's mostly just it's been growing, and that's been phenomenal. And you probably have a couple of really good companies in there that have done phenomenally well, I would suspect. A couple of tech names. And then on the other side, the IRA, which is a bigger amount, this $300,000. Tell me about how that is invested, and what's the strategy on the big IRA?
Well, Well, that's a good question because I'm 64 and I think very often, you know, and I have switched that three times or I've switched it twice. I rolled it over into a big, you know, nationally known financial company. And then I rolled it over into something a little bit more local. And, but the point is the conversation always comes up, well, you know, you're old. And so you need to put some bonds in there. Mm-hmm. And the first time I switched it, it was because I got a phone call from my so-called representative who said, hey, you know, you need more bonds. You're getting closer to retirement. I said, I don't agree with that. In fact, I've been reading that. So there's always this little push and pull. And I think the tension in the conversation is good. But my preference is something a little bit more aggressive. And so I don't. In answer to your basic question, I don't really know how. I know it's asset allocation, but I can't really tell you, and I don't have the information with me in the car right now.
Well, here, I think that's probably enough info for me, okay, me to understand kind of where you are. So it sounds like this is a classic case of you have a couple. You have some smaller accounts that have a couple of stocks in there that are, it's pretty concentrated, and they've done awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got kind of your serious money, quote, the bulk of your assets in an account that is much more diversified. And it's in asset allocation. That means it probably has U.S. and international and U.S.
Yeah.
large and small, and it's got
right.
bonds and it's all these other areas of the world. And that will, from a total return perspective, is a much smoother, steadier ride. And you get in a period of time where you have something like tech that is just this week, by the way, that NASDAQ hit an all-time high. You if you own a couple of tech names, and by the way, the market is being driven right now by really just a handful of technology names. So you'll read articles right now about how narrow this market is, meaning that you get a couple of big companies like Amazon, let's say, that hit an all-time high this week. I'm sure you own Amazon in there, right?
I do.
Okay. And the Amazon has propelled the NASDAQ almost, not single-handedly, but it's one of the FANG stocks. So Facebook and Apple and Netflix and Google.
Right, I got all that. Mm-hmm.
And you start to think to yourself, gosh, I've got some of these, I've got this little account that's killing it. And I've got this big account that's just lumbering along like a giant asleep. Why don't I do more of this, what I'm doing over here with the big account, right? That's exactly what you're thinking. And yeah. And I think it's a very fair, it is absolutely human nature to be thinking that way. And you may not, and quite frankly, you may not be totally wrong, but I also want to give you some context where you might, and this is that push and pull between how do you invest your, quote, serious money that's supposed to be there for the next 40 years for you versus some of your short-term money that's a little bit more, quote, speculative. Now, let me just give you a couple reminders here. I remember these same conversations in 1998, 1999, because you own a handful of NASDAQ companies that were driving the market and nothing else was doing well. Why don't I own just tech? These are companies that are going to continue to go to the moon forever and everything else is no good. And then you know what happened. The NASDAQ dropped 80%.
Boom, yeah.
Right? Same thing happened in 2005 and 6 and 7, but tech stocks happened to financials. Why don't I just own all the big bank stocks? They pay 4% dividends. They're going to the moon. And forget everything else. And then we know what happened. Bank stocks dropped anywhere from 30% to 100%, right?
Right.
So markets tend to get narrow. And when they get narrow, just like they are today, we tend to kind of get drawn to this one particular light and start to look at everything else like, everything else is kind of just mediocre. Quite frankly, as an investor, you start to think, oh, everything else is crap. And this is the gold. let's just ride this one golden vessel in the ocean and forget everything else. And then a big tidal wave comes and it knocks over the golden vessel and everything else is safe, but you happen to only be in the golden vessel. And I think that not to say that tech's about to crash here, right?
But, yeah, I get it.
But what you're doing here is that you're choosing to have what I would say your serious money in a more balanced, diversified way so that you don't run the risk of losing 50%, right? Asset allocation, a couple of thoughts. So don't mistake the, you know, the benefits, let's say, of style over, let's say, substance. And right now you have, you happen to have the right style. It's very in vogue, right? Over substance. Cool. And I would say that the substance here is that over time, asset allocation really wins. And here's why. It gives you a balance of risk and reward, and it smooths out the returns, and it keeps your emotions in check. Now, that's what kills investors, is that we might, things might be going along really well, and all of a sudden when markets or tides turn, then we can lose money really quickly. And then let's say we get caught. We say, well, no, I did so well here. I'm not going to sell this at a loss, even though it's down 30 or 40%. It's going to come back, and then it never comes back. Those are the cycles that people get caught up in. The person that wins, it's a little bit of the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise wins and says, well, I'm okay with this 7-8% return that's steady for 30 years versus I'm up 50 and 60% and then I'm down 50 and 60%. That seems perfect today, but there will be a time in the next, I don't know, year, 2 years, 5 years, where you kind of wish, hey, I kind of like that whole tortoise strategy that over time wins. And it sounds like that's probably what you have. So if you're doing okay in the bigger account, and as long as it's making money, it's okay that you've got another more speculative. Just remember, it is more speculative, means that the ups can be great, downside can be tough. Just remember that at some point, you'll probably be glad that you've got some more stability. Now, I think you made a really good point. You're 60, in your early 60s, doesn't mean you are, quote, old, right? So you get a call You get a call from your representative, oh, you need more bonds. Well, I don't know, right? I think you definitely do need some, but the other thing I think we make a big mistake in the world of financial planning is we say, well, I'm 64, you said. I don't have a lot of time. I don't see, that could be the case, right? Sure, you could die tomorrow. We could die tomorrow. But you might very well have a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. You might have 40 years, God willing.
I think I do.
Okay. So you have a lot of time. So you're not that different from the 25-year-old I just talked to that said, hey, Wes, I own a bunch of bonds. I said, no, man, you don't need any bonds. You're 25. You need to be in equities. So if you think of your time horizon as a 20-year horizon, 30-year horizon, and you're okay with a little bit of volatility, then you may not need 40, 50, 60% in bonds. And if you can handle some waves out there in the ocean on your golden vessel, if you can handle that, then know that the more you have in equities, the more fluctuation you're going to have. And for some people, that's okay. And when I say for some people, investing is one part science and data, one very big part emotion and the way we feel and how we can tolerate the value of our money going up and down. So you've got to be able to it sounds like your balance is a little off, meaning that you're overly frustrated with this big account. It's probably, maybe it is a little too conservative. It doesn't mean that you don't want asset allocation. I still believe in that. We need to do
it.
We need to do an entire show about asset allocation, and we will in the next, let's call it, couple of weeks. But I think what you might want to do is tweak your allocation and say to your representative or whoever you're working with, hey, look, I'm 64, but I've got a 20, 30-year horizon. My horizon isn't 5 years. So don't treat me like I'm 90. I'm 60, and quite frankly, I'm thinking like I'm 40. And I think that's the answer. We got to run here, but hopefully that Ann in Midtown, hopefully this discussion helps you maybe change things or tweak things so that you're more comfortable with the bigger picture, which is really what matters. Thanks for the call.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, let's keep going here on Money Matters. So much to talk about here. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB. Talk more Money Matters and the global growth industry of military and defense straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Of course, we have a lot going on. Of course. By the way, you can hear the Republican candidates for governor, the debate, today on WSB. Sunday, today, 12:30 to 1:30. That's Casey Cagle and Brian Kemp square off. You can watch that on Channel 2, Action News, WSB Television. And, of course, you can hear it right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Wes Moss, your host here. We'll go to the phones. Austin in Atlanta. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, Wes. I've been hearing a lot about the inverted yield curve that's starting to happen, and that's usually the leading prediction of a recession coming up in about 12 to 18 months. I'm curious to know your opinion about what do you think is going to cause the recession, because I don't see any industries that are flying high. And do you think it's going to be something like 2009 all over again?
Yeah, we've talked about the inverted yield curve here, and it's something we've got to continue to watch. Right now, you basically take the 10-year Treasury yield and subtract the 2-year, and then the 10-year is at about 283 and the 2-year is at 258. So there's only 25, it's a quarter of a point spread between the two. When that gets negative or inverted, I think of it as an upside down curve. It should be sloping up. Instead, it gets inverted. It means that investors are thinking that the economy is going to roll over, so they're willing to take less in long-term interest than they do in short-term. So you get this inversion, and right now we're getting close to that. You've got to watch a couple other major indicators, though. So leading indicators, you can look that up on the Federal Reserve website. That's still very positive. I'm looking at it right here. Wage growth is really the black widow, if you will, of economic indicators. So when wage growth, Austin, gets to the 4% level, that's probably even more of an economy killer than the inverted yield curve. So I would say that you've got to see all these things happen in tandem. And wage growth still has a long way to go. We're hovering around 2.9%. So it's climbing, but it's still a long way from 4%. So let's look at all these things in context, and we'll continue to do so here on Money Matters at week after week after week, looking at all of the economic data in context before we get to a place where we think, hey, we've got a recession coming. Not yet, but we'll continue to keep you up to date. Stay tuned. 10 o'clock hour, we're talking about the global defense industry and money flowing into that. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 and AM 750, Money Matters, WSB.